dare Satan and the wild beast wear diadems? How dare they? How dare they wear diadems? Well, you know, it's the nature of the beast. Little joke there. Little wild beast joke there at the end of the week here. Hello, everyone. This is Martin Zender. I'm wearing sunglasses for old time's sake. That's it. Nothing wrong with me except, you know, I got the eternal sty on my eye. But yeah, I'm over that. It's going to go away eventually, maybe sometime in 2017. Who knows? That's okay. Not really, but it is what it is. Now, Satan and the wild beast have diadems. Satan has it on his head, and the wild beast has it on its horns. Let me read the passage, and then see, we're finishing strong here. You thought I'd totally forgotten the fact that we were in the book of Revelation. Well, you can see that I have not done that. I wouldn't do that to you. And we're going back a little bit here to pick up on this diadem thing. Every word counts here. That's why this series is taking so long. Folks, every word counts. And I go into detail here with you on the Revelation series, including things about chopsticks, very important things about state of Florida, very important things about Ohio, and about my eyes. All right? So, a great sign. As verse 1, chapter 12 of the unveiling was seen in heaven, a woman clothed. All right, let's get past that because we only want to know about the diadem. The woman does not have diadems. Yes, she possibly has earrings and a string of pearls, but no diadem. And another sign was viewed in heaven. I am in verse 3 now. And lo, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its head 7 diadems. How dare it? And its tail is dragging a third of the stars of heaven and casts them into the earth, and so on and so forth. Now, that's all pleasant, nice, well, and good. And yet when the wild beast shows up in chapter 13, which is the personification on earth of the diabolical plans of Satan, it has 10 diadems on its horns. And we know the horns speak of military power. Military power. The heads speak of authority. And the horns speak of the ability to carry out the authority in the form of large guns or some kind of weaponry of some kind, whether it's supernatural or otherwise. So the word diadem in the Greek, this is really going to throw you for a loop. It's really going to perplex you. It's diadema. Yes, diadema is the Greek word for a diadem, and it speaks of reward and rule and authority. You would think that it's just for a king. I picture the Rajas, is that how you pronounce it? I don't know, of India, whatever. They have those, they're swathed in headgear, and there's a large stone on top of their heads or at the front of their swathing, and it would be a diadem, and it speaks of kingly rule. But here we have a combination of a king, which is political, and we have a religious authority. And whenever, again, you see religion and politics mingling today, it's bad. It's bad. It's very, very bad. It's going to be good when Jesus does it, but it's bad now. Diadems are seen only 3 times in the scripture. And yes, a diadem is a ornate thingy. I will say a thingy. Yeah, thingee. A diadem is, this is the official definition, a gem-like thingy. And it's only seen 3 times in the scriptures: on the head of the dragon, the vision we just mentioned, that is unveiling 12:3, on the horns of the wild beast, as I just related to you, chapter 13, verse 1. And, this is cool, on the head of the rider on the white horse, unveiling 19:12. This is the white horse, the good white horse. This is the good one, not the bad one. We have the false white horse rider at the beginning of the unveiling. Now we have the true. And he takes the diadems of his enemies and makes them his own. Okay. I got ahead of myself there because I got a little excited about diadema. A diadema makes me Yes, it does. Now, the diadems, look at all the passages I mentioned. This is a little quiz for you. Tell me what all these passages have in common. I'm going to read them again. The instances where the word diadem occurs, diadema in the Greek. The unveiling 12:3, unveiling 13:1, unveiling 19:12. Anybody? Yes. We're in the religious section of the unveiling, and you beginning with 11:19. So you know that we're to look at things in a religious light. We're done with the throne section. We're done with the political rule. Now we're into people who want worship. Now we're into people who want to get God out of society, out of the world, out of your consciousness, and worship them in one form or another, whether it's a physical idol or whether it's just a pleasant personality that spews blasphemy. This word is absent in the throne section. Why is it here? That's a great question. It indicates ecclesiastical authority. We come back now to the seven heads of Christianity. Christianity is the Western power that will take over this world and will back itself with 10 military powers that come out of Christianity, namely the 10 horns. And this seven-headed monstrosity has seven diadems. And so the seven diadems are symbolic here in the unveiling, but they represent ornamentation that the priesthood, for instance, uses today. I bring before you the example of the popes, the bishops, the bishops, the bishops, the bishops. They have these crazy hats. The Catholic Church, a perfect example. They have these crazy hats. The Pope wears a crazy hat. It looks like nothing. It looks like nothing I can describe. There's nothing in the natural world to describe this pointy thing that the Pope wears. And then the cardinals wear these little felt things like they wear on the Shriners. And you see the Shriners on the 4th of July parade riding around in their ridiculous little cars and motor scooters. Some of them follow the horse entries, and they shovel up horse poop. Well, the cardinals in the Catholic Church wear ridiculous hats that look like the fez. Is that what it's called? A fez? Of the Shriners. And so this is equivalent of a diadem. When you see the fez, or when you see the giant white pointy thing that looks like a ridiculous pointy thing on the head of the Pope, you are supposed to be in awe. The Pope is now in his official garments. He's now operating in the official office of the Pope. How do we know? Because of the white pointy thing on his head. And of course, he's wearing the ecclesiastical robes. And don't you Protestants out there get smug. No, because you have your own ridiculous garments. I'm thinking of, I guess, the choir robes. Anytime anybody wears anything that would set them apart. Yes, I know the only legitimate one is God and his priesthood. Okay, yes, they had the seven, they had the 12 stoned breastplate. I'll give you that. I will give you that. But that's an exception to the rule. I swear to you, that's the exception. It's the only exception. But see, everybody else wants to imitate the righteous. Now, Jesus Christ himself will wear the diadem. As I said in chapter 19, verse 12, the white horse rider, which is Christ, also wears many diadems. So it's not that the diadem is wrong. It's that it's misappropriated by people who are playing ecclesiastical authority. They're taking it upon themselves. They have no right to it. And so the Catholic Church, they're playing Israel. They're playing priesthood. They're playing kings of the world. And they're congratulating themselves and dressing themselves in the freaking dark. They must be dressing themselves in the dark. Well, yeah, I know many people are impressed by this. That is true. And I put crucifixes in the same category. I know some of my friends even will wear crosses around their necks. I look the other way. I try not to be judgmental. It's the mark of the beast. Jesus Christ was not crucified on a cross. He was crucified on a pole. The cross, I believe, will become the end time sign of the beast, the wild beast. The mark of the beast, I believe, will be a cross. Some of my friends even have crosses around their neck. It's religious bling. I don't like it, but I'm not judgmental either. I just look at it as, oh, that's a nice decoration. And I try to disassociate it from the diadem of the wild beast and of the dragon. I try. And I sometimes succeed. Usually I succeed. So we're looking at an ecclesiastical authority. And as I mentioned last week, that there are, interestingly enough, seven heads of the dragon. And there are seven heads, seven bodies in Christianity, seven main bodies in Christianity. I can't recall them all to mind now. You'll have to go to Friday's show. You want me to try it? Oh, Catholicism, Protestantism, the Baptists. There's all sorts of divisions of Protestantism. You have the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Asian Orthodox Church, you have non-Trinitarianism, and there's one more under there at the bottom, but these are all, I believe, seven heads of the dragon, which becomes the wild beast. Now, if the seven heads of the dragon supervise seven religious divisions of the earth, the seven heads of the dragon supervise, remember, what happens on in heaven is enacted on earth. If they supervise the religious divisions of the earth, with which I just mentioned to you, then it is very likely that their crowns or their congratulatory jewelry or whatever insignia they use, which I believe will be the cross, will express the character of their authority. And it's religious. It's religious. Now we come to heaven. Now I've gotten through, thank God, the evil part of this. So Monday we'll start up with the white horse rider of chapter 19. Not there yet, but boy, is that ever going to be juicy. That's going to be loaded with juice. And I realize I need a haircut. I realize I'm struggling here with my hair. But be patient with me. I'm just getting acquainted with my circumstances down here. I don't know where everything is, including barbershops. Don't know where they are. Don't know where they are. I've driven past a few, but I just haven't put it in my mind to remember where they are. So anyway, thank you for your patience along that line. So as I always say, folks, usually when I end the week, don't be fooled by posers, by ecclesiastical authority that comes with great pomp, great circumstance, with uniforms, with outfits, with robes, with hats, with grand choirs and crosses on the outside. Oh my gosh, I saw a church. There's a church down here that has a heart-shaped pond in front of it. That is wrong on so many levels. I need a week to explain the levels. What do I have? I don't have a week. I have a minute. That's good enough for me. A heart shaped like a Valentine's heart, as if that pictures for us the heart of Christ. You people at the church, you believe in eternal torment. And you say God loves us, and instead of putting at least put a human heart, I wouldn't mind seeing a thing, something with ventricles and an aorta and all sorts of pulmonary tubing. That's fine. But you put a Valentine's Day heart, and then you fill it with water that's probably got chlorine in it, and maybe it has an alligator in it, and then you put a cross behind it. I forgot to mention that part. A cross behind it, the mark of the beast. And then to put it in front of your church, which has a steeple, it is wrong, 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 wrong. I drive past it, and now I have to avert my eye. May God deliver us from all this iconery and chicanery.